The next matter this morning is Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Association versus Rita Johnson. See, Ms. Johnson is not present. Mr. Marcovi.
Chief Justice Brown, and may it please the Court, I'm Timothy Marcovi, Willis E. Lopresti and Marcovi. I'm here on behalf of the relator, the Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Association. Your Honors, the only issue presented to this Court is whether the Board of Commissioners' recommended sanction of a one-year suspension with 6 months of that suspension stayed for Ms. Johnson's admitted violations of the Code of Professional Responsibility and Rules of Professional Conduct is appropriate. The relator respectfully submits that it is. Respondents raised three objections to the Board of Commissioners' findings and conclusions and in this matter. Two of them relate to two claimed issues of mitigation that Ms. Johnson claims the Board did not consider, and the third has to do with the whether or not the case law cited by the Board is inapposite. Respectfully, we submit that all of the objections are not well taken and should be overruled.
Is the respondent still the clerk of courts at Garfield Municipal Heights? Do you know?
I did notice on the Garfield Municipal Heights Municipal Court website there is a different name for clerk of courts. I had occasion on another matter to look at who the clerk was, and it was no longer Ms. Johnson.
Did you receive any communication from her as to whether she intended to appear today or not?
I did not.
Counsel, part of the sanction is that there be the one-year, six-month stay with the OLAP contract. The recommendation, to your knowledge, is that there would be proof of competency before there would be any reinstatement. Is that correct?
A complete fulfillment of an OLAP contract, which I understand that's pretty standard, yes.
And do you have any knowledge if Ms. Johnson is currently undergoing that type of compliance?
None. We have received no communication from Ms. Johnson since we received her objections to the Board of Commissioners.
Do you know if she has entered a contract with OLAP or not?
I do not. No proof of that has been submitted to us. Ms. Johnson very briefly complained that the Board of Commissioners did not take a mental disability into account as a mitigating circumstance and yet required her to enter into an OLAP contract. She seemed to see an inconsistency in this. The rule, Section 10b-2g, that talks about a mental disability as a mitigating factor actually has specific elements that have to be proved, including proof from a qualified mental health professional of a diagnosis and a prognosis by a qualified mental health professional that eventually the respondent would be able to return to the practice of law ethically and professionally. Both of those elements were missing.
Which brings me to my question about the OLAP requirement here. There's no proof that she, no medical proof, no professional attestation to the fact that she has a mental health issue. Her, statements was that this all occurred when she was practicing and she was under a great deal of stress.
That was the testimony at the hearing in January, yes.
Okay, so now you'd like, your recommendation is 1 year, 6 months stayed, and a contract with OLAP.
Yes.
For mental health treatment? Is that what you're saying?
The board, I think, made very clear in its recommendations that the testimony of the respondent at the hearing, which indicated she was under stress, She said she was getting treatment, but again, we don't have anything, any diagnosis from a mental health professional, and that she was under medication led them to conclude that an OLAP contract would be an appropriate additional term and condition in this case. The fact that the respondent failed to put on the elements of proof necessary to demonstrate mitigation does not necessarily mean that an OLAP contract, which isn't a sanction, rather it is the Ohio Lawyers Assistance Program is to assist attorneys and, I think, as a byproduct, protect the public, as an additional term and condition to assist her in returning to the practice of law ethically and professionally. The fact that one didn't meet the elements of proof doesn't necessarily mean that an OLAP contract isn't going to assist her in returning to the practice of law.
I guess my concern was that you're mandating or you're recommending that we mandate that she get an OLAP contract. I'd rather see it something, you know, that she, provided that's appropriate, that she enters into the OLAP and let OLAP determine whether she needs their assistance. I don't know that the relator or this court is in the position right now to say you've got to enter into an OLAP. I think it's OLAP's responsibility or expertise that we need to rely on here.
That would certainly be an appropriate a term or condition for her serving out her suspension. The second point that respondent raised in her objections was her voluntary withdrawal from practicing law with clients. Now, first of all, Rule 10 does not require that as or list that as a mitigating factor, and I know that that is not an exhaustive or exclusive list of mitigating factors. Nevertheless, it is not mentioned. Secondly, Your Honors, I don't believe that in this particular case it was necessarily a voluntary withdrawal from the practice of law with clients. The respondent testified in the January 15, 2010 hearing that it was a requirement of her job that she no longer have clients outside of being the clerk of the municipal court.
Mr. Markovi, wasn't it a choice that she apparently made to take a job that would preclude her from practicing law?
It was a choice. Whether it was a choice that was brought about by economic necessity or for some other reason, there's nothing in the record one way or the other. But nevertheless, it was not a job where she had the voluntary. Once she took the job, she didn't have a choice. Do I practice law with clients or not? It was she testified they would not want her.
You're
practicing.
Suggesting that the voluntary choice not to practice with clients but instead to work at clerk at the court is evidence that it wasn't a voluntary choice not to practice with clients? I'm not sure I follow.
Okay, going to the clerk's office in order to have a job. The implication in her objection was that, see, I was leaving the practice of law. The way the testimony came out at the hearing, I think, was somewhat different, in that it wasn't necessarily a voluntary choice on her part. The third point we'd like to make about this objection is, if you look at her testimony and the stipulations regarding the second matter, the Alita Walker matter, her removal, her somewhat precipitous removal from the practice of law may have actually gone in some length towards the difficulty she had in representing Ms. Walker, including the failure to notify her of her rather short time to refile her federal court case. Your Honors, with respect to the precedents that were relied upon by the Board of Commissioners, the Columbus Bar Association versus Dice and Columbus Bar Association versus D'Albert, we think that they both support the Board's conclusion in this case.
Mr. Markovi, I noted that the panel that did the hearing suggested that there be a monitor in place to assist Ms. Johnson upon reinstatement to the practice of law following a recommended suspension. The Board did not incorporate that into its findings. What was the relator's position with respect to the necessity of a monitor, considering the fact there had been a default judgment in excess of $300,000 as a result of the actions of the respondent here?
Your Honors, Justice O'Donnell, the testimony as it came out at the hearing in January indicated that the respondent herself recognized that without the proper setting with adequate support, she would not be able to practice nor would law, nor would she want to practice law outside of that setting. I don't think that requiring some sort of a monitoring in that respect would be a term or condition that would be inappropriate at all.
But if she were suspended for a period of 1 year and permitted to re-enter with a six-month suspension, or with a one-year suspension but six-month stayed, after 6 months she'd simply be back in the practice of law.
She would. And perhaps another requirement would be appropriate. Your Honors, the Board of Commissioners didn't fail to take into account any valid mitigating factors of which there was proof in the record. The precedent relied upon imposed similar sanctions for similar misconduct. Similar or heavier sanctions for similar misconduct with, although not identical, what certainly seemed to be related mitigating and aggravating factors. The relator, Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Association, respectfully requests that the objections of respondent be overruled and that the recommendations of the Board of Commissioners be adopted with such other terms and conditions as this court feels appropriate. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Markovi.